all very much, and now let's have the questions from the press. I hope you'll forgive me for holding a press conference together with this. It's the best we can do. Yes.
Senator Javits, in all the years of campaigning, would you describe this primary as probably the dirtiest campaign, meaning the accusations that have been thrown back and forth by your opponent?
No, I don't wish to describe it as that at all. It has been a tough campaign, very hard fought, and at times I believe I've been justified in decrying the low level, considering the eminence of the office, which characterized what I considered the opposition to me. But this is the day before the primary. The people have heard all that they, I think, wish to hear on that subject. They will decide tomorrow.
Senator, you said before that the turnout tomorrow, for you at least, has to be heavy. Why?
Because I believe that the more Republicans that are interested in the race, who are interested in a senator who will win it, because I believe I can win this election, and perhaps, I'm not being egregious about it, perhaps I'm the only Republican who can win this election for the Senate, and thereby help us to control the Senate, which is also at stake. I believe that is entitled to the support of all Republicans, and therefore I hope many turn out. In addition, I believe I can be of immeasurable help in smoothing the transition if the Republican candidate wins, and this is going to be, as we all know, a very close race on the presidential. I have, I think, established a very important relationship with my colleagues on the Republican side and with my colleagues on the Democratic side. And we are a country. Once we organize the Senate on the first day of the session, for whichever party prevails in the Senate, we are a nation. And I have felt in my whole career that that's what I had to be. I had to represent our state and our nation when it came to the ultimates of our policy. And I was delighted. And it is not exclusive with Governor Reagan, but I was delighted when, in speaking before the VFW not so many weeks ago, Governor Reagan made that clear, that we're Americans when it comes to the fate and destiny of our country. And so in that spirit, I want very much, I don't know what the individual Republican will do, but I want him very much to come out and vote. I want to emphasize to him how important it is that he make the choice and not wake up the next morning and say, why didn't I go out and vote? I could have had something to do with that result.
Senator, you've called Mr. Starkweather one of your earliest and strongest supporters and said that he played an important role in the decision to seek re-election. Now Mr. Starkweather says he might like to be the state chairman here in the state of New York Party. I'm wondering if you will support him in that decision.
I think Ron Starkweather would be the first one to say, let that abide the event. When, as, and if there is a question, then I think he will have faith that I will decide what is in the best interest of the party and the state. I don't think he needs any commitments from me.
Exactly. Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Senator, your opponent contends you're much more interested in foreign affairs than what happens in your own state. He claims he is the real Republican. Could you comment on that?
Yes. The people of this state have elected me on the Republican ticket for four successive elections. If I were not, quote, a real Republican, whatever that means, they'd have found out about a long time ago. I assure you, I've had some very expert research done on me in 24 years. So Mr. D'Amato is no Columbus. No Christopher Columbus who suddenly discovered all my imperfections. I am a convinced Republican. I have been since 1932 because I believe in the two pillars of the Republican Party. One, equal opportunity for the individual. Everybody at the same starting line. And that goes for many things, including education and health and housing. And second, I believe that in the final analysis, our country's freedom depends upon the fact that people should have their jobs in the private enterprise system, in the main, and that when they owe their jobs to government, they are likely to prove to be suckers for some kind of a totalitarian system. So I'm a very real Republican, believe me, and I'm very hard-headed about money. Now as to foreign policy, I explained that. I don't know whether you were here when I spoke. It's certainly more glamorous to get your picture in the papers when you go down to the front of the House of the Senate building in Washington and you meet some foreign potentate or prime minister, whether it's Menachem Begin or Sadat or some other, you know, leading figure, Deng Xiaoping or something. It's not very glamorous when you get a new sewer system for Hoosick Falls, New York. It's a line in the Hoosick Falls paper, period. I have done an enormous amount for this state. It is interlaced with housing projects, businesses saved, families saved, immigration, military cases, etc. It is honeycombed with businesses which have been taken over by their employees through loans and grants which we were able to arrange. Enormous amounts of money for urban mass transit and 100 other things have come into the state, the arts and humanities, you name it, it's happened. But these go unsung when they're overshadowed by far more glamorous events. But I qualify, I assure you, on having done the job for this state superbly well, and I assure you, if I'd been deficient to that, in that, I'd been found out a long time ago.
Senator, does it bother you, or are you worried about the latest polls that shows you only 8% ahead of your opponent?
Don't say only 8%. That happens to be 8 percentage points. That's
before,
a lot.
Before it was 25, though.
Oh, yes, but I was the first one to say this was going to be a hard fight. Long ago, when you fellows were bedazzled by the 25 points, and I was not. So I'm not a bit surprised. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm doing very well.
I would start here. Put in the poll. How much stock do you put in those pre-election polls, anyway? Do you believe them or not?
Well, I consult them. They're a guide. Harry Truman said, and I think quite properly, that the only poll that counts is the poll on Election Day, in this case tomorrow, the primary day. But I do pay attention to what I see and read. It may and may not have significance, but it's a matter which I should pay attention to, which I do.
What do you contribute the tightening of the race between yourself and Mr. DeMille?
The intensity of the campaign and the very questions which have occurred here. Am I so taken up with foreign policy? Remember, I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee. And what we tend to forget a little bit, even we citizens, in a time of trouble, and no one in the world knows better than I what a time of trouble this is at home and abroad, we intend always to forget that peace is really the dominant issue. If you're not alive, you won't enjoy anything. And so my state should be thrilled that they have given me the length of service to give me such a powerful position in the foreign policy of our country. I've got a cool head on my shoulders, and I know a great deal about this particular issue. And no matter who you have as president, please call my attention. I missed. But I want to thank Norm Rothschild, our county chairman, for arranging matters so very well for us as soon as we got off the plane. And my dear friend, very old friend, Harry Marley, who is here, been my friend for 30 years and helped me get started right here in the Syracuse area on a statewide level. As did Mike Sawyer, a professor at the University of Syracuse, who is also here with me, and a great friend of theirs, Mel Holm, and the former mayor here. who was also an old friend and dear support, and many others who I hope will forgive me if I don't quite pick them up here in now this minute. And with me and my party today, and by the way, Lily and Marley have been very dear to me for so long. Coming with me now on this trip, Governor Wilson, former governor of the state of New York, will say a few words. And our controller and the rising star in our party, Ned Regan, who's standing here next to me. Jim Emery, who is the minority leader of the state assembly and is traveling with us today. Marion Granowitz at the end there, who is vice chairman of the state Republican Party. The people's lawyer, Lou Lefkowitz, whom you know so very well and has served you for so long and so brilliantly. And Connie Cook, co-chairman of my campaign committee, and Al Marshall, who's chairman, where are you, Al? Chairman of my campaign committee. I think that's that's in our party. And then very specially as close colleague and friend of Jim Emery's and mine and everybody here, the majority leader of our state Senate. He and Jim, from the very beginning, encouraged me, notwithstanding the primary, to go again. And that was a hard decision for me. Their support was a very important factor in encouraging me to go forward. And I thank you so much, Warren.
Yes, sir.
Warren's just met us here. And many other friends and colleagues. I shall speak very briefly. The people of this area, Syracuse area, and Onondaga County generally, have lived with me a long time. And I know that voters have a little brains of their own, and that they don't take everything that the opposition says for granted. They've lived with me, man and boy, the voters of this area, for 26 years, 24 as a senator, longer than any senator in the history of the state, and two as attorney general. I've been tried and tested in five statewide campaigns, and I assure you, my record has been thoroughly researched by able staffs and able opponents, and it has stood up magnificently. Until today, I think I stand at the peak of my capability for doing good for the people of our state. This is essentially a manufacturing city, Syracuse, Carrier, and so many other outstanding concerns. You need a healthy country and a healthy economy. And if there is a recession, and we're in one now, or if there is economic adversity, you need governmental programs to help you come through the vicissitudes of life. Now, I'm a real Republican, mistake it not, for these reasons. One, I believe in equal opportunity for every individual, everybody equal at the starting line. From there we begin, no matter what your color, what your race, what your creed, what your ethnicity. We'll give you the break to get you there in education and in all the other things that make it. From that point on your own. And second, a deep faith that the private enterprise system of the United States is what keeps our country free, because it gives the overwhelming majority of our people, 90% or more, the opportunity to wear a different hat when they work than when they vote. They are workers who are independent of politics for their job, and that's the way to keep our country free. So I place and will place a very heavy reliance on the private enterprise system to do the things we need done, and a very heavy reliance on the private enterprise system to keep this country on the road, equivalent to its own needs for security, because you know that it's only the vast output of the American minds and factories and American brains that keeps us strong in the real sense. That's how we won the wars, because when we press the button, the stuff turns out in a torrent. And we've overcome many enemies, determined enemies, in that way. So I have an understanding of what our country needs and what our country wants. And I felt that after all those years that New York had invested in me, all the seniority, all the credit cards and connections that it gave me, I had to use it for their good at a time of such peril at home and abroad. And don't be taken in, I hope, not my friends, by all of these tall tales and canards about the fact that my interest in foreign policy overwhelms my duty to my state. This state is crisscrossed from one end to the other with housing and health and education, including the Syracuse University right here, and the enormous aids that I have been able to be to the state precisely because I am a prominent senator. What do you want? A non-prominent senator? Do you want an amateur? You want a new man? It's easy enough to get them. There are lots of applicants for the job, but that's not for New York. We've got too much at stake to gamble on that. And so I hope very much that you will do everything you can in the remaining hours to bring out the vote. That's what will nominate me tomorrow, the vote. The size of this vote will be decisive. I'm not a person who is attractive to everybody because not everybody believes in independence. And not everybody believes that I serve the whole state instead of some narrow segment of it. It would be so easy to sound so attractive to about 10% of the state, but that's not the responsibility of a senator of New York. And so if you elect me and nominate me first and then elect me again, I will, as I have, represent everybody in this state without fear or favor and with deep conviction as to the principles of my party, trying to do the best to keep our state on the Empire State high plateau upon which it has been for so long and where it's now threatened. And let those who get after me about government programs remember that right now it is we who are the poor relations. We need them. We need them. The right ones. We need them for help with young people who want jobs. We need them for job training. We need them for defense orders. For years, the South and Southwest lived on that. Now we have to have some of that assistance. And so I will do my utmost to hold a fair and even balance between all of these requirements in order to be hard-headed about money with a clear recognition that our country is a country that goes forward, a country that grows because it produces, a country that grows because it's competitive, and a country that in order to be secure, in order to be strong, has to be industrially and technically right up to date. We cannot, we dare not lag behind. I hope very much you'll bring people out. We want Republicans to vote. We'll take our chances on how they vote. Just bring them out and vote. Thank you all very much. You want one question? I understand you have a deadline.
Yeah.
Just one, because okay. I want to introduce my colleague.
Okay. You say that you've tried to serve the entire state. What particular things have you done for Central New Yorkers?
I have improved the industrial climate. I have helped to deal with vicissitudes of unemployment through unemployment insurance. I've handled all of those bills on the floor. I have helped in job training. I have helped technologically in aid to institutions like Syracuse University and to the students who go there. Just the other day, I went to Washington in order to get through the higher education bill, which means billions to higher education in this country. We lost by one vote. Does that mean we quit? No. I'll go back and we'll do it. We may have to change this or that, but we'll do it. That's what I'm doing for Central New York. I'm not getting away from the individual housing project, the individual loan, etc. That could go on for hours. I'm giving you the broad basis upon which I work for this section of the state. Thank you. Now, my first colleague whom I'd like to introduce is a wonderful Republican and a wonderful New Yorker, former Governor Malcolm Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I'm just delighted to be here to see all of my friends, wonderful friends, men and women with whom I've enjoyed working in so many capacities for so many years, including members of the media. I came at Senator Javits' invitation on this trip around the state today to try, perhaps even by my presence, to express my conviction in Senator Javits' credentials as a Republican. There is no need for me to labor his qualifications as a Senate, his own colleagues down in the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, testify with a single voice that he is the most able, the most intelligent, the most intellectual member of the Senate of the United States. Nor is there any need for me in the presence of a sophisticated company such as this to identify the specifics of his performance for all the state, including this great broad reach of central New York, which has its focal point in Syracuse. The Senator mentioned the Higher Education Act, of which he was the principal author when it went on the books, and as he five hours last week on a very busy day, he went down fighting for it to help Syracuse University, the chairman of whose board is here, who has a tenure in that office, I guess, even longer than Senator Javits. And he was the one, ladies and gentlemen, who in 1974, when I was privileged to serve as governor, and it became evident that it would be absolutely impossible for the bus lines and for the other mass transit facilities, including the subways in New York, to continue to function at even a reasonable fare. Jack led the fight successfully for the $200 million in operating subsidies to help hold down the bus fares here in central New York and elsewhere in the state. So he serves all of the people. But our party has always prided itself on having men and women who ran for office and when they were elected served all of the people regardless of their political affiliation or their geography. And that's what Jack has done. But we speak today and tomorrow to the Republicans whose presence at the polls is indispensable to his being again our Republican candidate for the Senate. And insofar as his Republicanism is concerned, Charlie Shenick, who is here, who was the fine majority leader of the Assembly for so many years, Mel Holme, Jack Vandervoort, John Glenn Denning, of course, Warren and Jim, Louis, all of us who had the privilege of working with Jack know that he is a stalwart Republican, a responsible Republican. As Republicans, I think, all of the men and women of our party should be intensely interested in the circumstance that Jack is a Republican member of the United States Senate, where our party is in the minority. We have an unparalleled opportunity this year to pick up as many as 7 seats in the Senate. Now, it will serve us ill indeed if we pick up 6 or 7 seats outside New York and lose New York and therefore lose the opportunity to have our party, the party of responsibility, conduct the affairs of the Senate. In addition, Jack is the ranking minority member on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. In the event the Republicans do secure control of the Senate, he will be the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. That, because of his vast experience and his wisdom, will be terribly important for our country. And I just hope that all of our Republicans will go to the polls tomorrow and vote for Jack.
Thank you very much.
And I have the honor to present my dear friend and the people's lawyer, Louis Lefkowitz.
I'm not running this year, as you all know, but you couldn't keep me away from campaigning. I'm going to give you a quick speech because I'll be back during the fall, hopefully, to help out the ticket from top to bottom. I'm strongly supporting Senator Javits because, in my opinion, he should be and get all of your support because he deserves to win based upon his great record. For those of us in public life who come up, whether it be a primary or general election, there's one thing we want. If we feel we've done a job, and as you and I agree, he has done a job, there's only one way I know of to show your appreciation, and that's to give him support. We need a good turnout tomorrow. Take nothing for granted. The more, the better. And I'm going to echo what the others have said by simply spending my 30 seconds by saying to all of you, please, not only should you vote, there's a lot you can do even this evening and tomorrow morning. Keep after it. This may be close. I hope not. But you take nothing for granted. Jack Javits has been a great senator. Throughout the country, he's highly respected by colleagues on both sides of the aisle for one big reason. He does his homework. He's on the ball. And he works on behalf of his state. He's the envy of most of these senators for what he's done for his state because he's at it all the time. So to all of you, may I say, give me your support. Get all you can to help him out. then it'll all be happy tomorrow night with a good victory for Jack Javits. Thank you.
Comptroller Reagan.
I've been privileged to work with Jack Javits in local city and county and now state government in upstate New York for 16 years. And what Jack said kind of at the end of the question that the television crew just asked him is really true. He said, I couldn't go on to talk to you about the grants we've gotten and the housing projects that are there and the loans to businesses because we'd be here all day. Well, I can verify that. He's gotten them for every government that I've ever known or ever been in touch with. And as he says, and it's true, this state is honeycombed with housing projects, loans, and grants to give people affordable housing and to provide private sector jobs for them. That's what Jack Javits has done for the people of this state. I've had firsthand experience from it. I report it to you today. That's a record that no one can beat, and I think that that record, combined with Norm Rothschild's organization and Shirley Jefferson and all of you here in Central New York, is going to put them right over the top.
Thank you. Warren Anderson, the Majority Leader of the New York State Senate.
Thank you, Jack. Very briefly, if you've been watching television, you've heard why a lot of people say that Jack Javits ought to be renominated and reelected, starting with the President Ford, who makes a very persuasive case. Then you can talk and listen to Howard Baker say many of the things that Malcolm Wilson said so eloquently a few minutes ago about what it means when we have a chance to have one house of the Congress in Republican hands. But let me just tell you very briefly why Jim Emery and I, though we related those things to Jack and we told him that he had a responsibility to the country, he had a responsibility to the state, we also said he had a responsibility to us, those of us who serve in local legislative bodies. And Jim and I told him, and it's a fact, that all the polls showed us, that of all the possible candidates for the Senate, the one that would help those running for local legislative offices, such as the state Senate, the Assembly, none would serve us better than Jack. We were very candid about that. We told him the reasons why, such as have been mentioned, but we also said, look, you will be helpful to us in a year in which those two bodies are going to have to look at reapportionment. And we said it's very important that we keep the Senate and that we win the Assembly, and that Jack Javits on that ticket, more than anybody else, will help us do that. The polls showed us that early, and I believe the polls would show that to be the case today. That, among a lot of other reasons, are why I think that everyone should talk to their friends in the Republican Party, get them out to vote tomorrow, because we've got to put this man over. He deserves it, and we deserve him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jim Emery, the Minority Leader of the Assembly.
Thank you, Senator. You know, I don't think there's any greater tribute that can be given to any person in public office than to have a group of his colleagues come into the state as a group of senators came here last Saturday on behalf of Senator Javits and fanned throughout many communities in this state. Men and women from different walks of life, from different political philosophies of our party, some on the conservative side and some on the moderate to liberal side, but each of them carrying the same message, that there was no brighter person in the United States Senate than Senator Javits. There was no one with higher integrity in the United States Senate than Senator Javits. And there was no harder working person in the United States Senate than Senator Javits. I think that's a tribute unsurpassed in public life for those of us who serve and those of us who hope to be around for a while. I was very touched by that, and I was in Rochester with Senator Cohen from Maine, a senator who's only 40 years old, who has a great future, very bright, and who told us how on the floor of the Senate last year, near the closing hours on December 21st, when they thought they had finally completed their work and there was one further bill to be brought up, the one person who took the floor in defense of the measure was Senator Javits when everybody else wanted to go home. I think that describes what type of individual he is and how fortunate that we are in this state to have a man of that high regard in high position in Washington serving the interests of all of us, Syracuse and Onondaga County and across this state. And I'm very pleased and proud to be able to say to all of you that I hope you turn out tomorrow in record numbers to support Senator Javits for re-election. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate that very much. And I'd like, too, to thank Shirley Jefferson, who has joined Norm in welcoming me here, and to express my special pleasure at Charlie Shenick, who is one of my heroes in New York State officialdom, for being here. And I'd also like to express to their representatives, assuming, and I know one is here, that they are here, my appreciation for the endorsement of the newspapers here in Syracuse, the Herald Journal and the Post Standard. I know Steve Rogers, Bill Cotter, I respect them highly, and it's a special pleasure to me that I deserved, or I wouldn't have it, their particular endorsement. Now, in the time we have very little. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Yes. Senator, who will win tomorrow?
I never predict my own election. I hope very much to win. I feel I can be of great help to the people of my state in a time of peril, and it is a time of peril, with all the benefits and strength that they've given me in seniority and experience and in committee position and in the ability to deal with a legislative process intelligently.
Senator, this is your sixth stop, as far as I can recollect, in Syracuse on the campaign trail. I did a little researching into our files to see how many times you've made a stop in Syracuse when you weren't campaigning during your term. And during that term, you've, from what I can tell, you've been here three times, in 1975 for Syracuse University commencement, a building dedication at Krause Irving Memorial in 77, and a stop here in 1979 in August. Given that, you're here today to show your concern for Syracuse, but you've only been here, as far as I can tell, three times. It might reflect on our ability to gather news, I grant you, but it doesn't appear that you've been here very often.
I think you're very kind to say, as far as I can tell. I have fellows that